listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore.
This is Sound Poetry, KTAH 101.9, Radio Tacoma. And I'm your host, David Gilmore, here today with Centel Jackson of Augusta, Georgia, formerly Tacoma, Washington.
Yes, sir.
And he's come to us today to read some poems that come from his home life, from past life that he lived and experienced. Yes. Welcome, yes. Centel.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, David. Thank you.
Always, you know.
Yes. Have the home you go back to. Yeah. The nostalgic life. Place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here, you lived how many years?
30 years.
So you are an established Tacoman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so is the picnic part of Tacoman life, or is it?
It's part of Alabama life.
All right. Let's hear about picnics in Alabama.
Okay. This is titled Picnic. We packed up Uncle David's truck early this day. We're on our way to the picnic. As we crossed the creek where we often swam. Now, this ain't no normal picnic with checker cloths and jam, but it's packed on the second Saturday in July. Location, location, location. We Hobarth, Kathy Magby, Peace Baptist, and Good Hope. We cherished them and all had good hope that the cherished event would return again. And it has. But to a new location on Dozier Road, is what I heard. You can probably get a prime rib or a steak, mom's bomb fish sandwich, or a good old American hot dog wrapped in slippery wax paper, painted on like a canvas with mustard, ketchup, and relish. Or a stacked scoop of Mr. Hamp Simmons ice cream, too. You could even get a cold beer here at the picnic. Seeing family we haven't seen in years. A family reunion. We reveled. Church picnics. Gathering places for friends and family. Getting coins from Uncle Ludie for cold soda pop. Like Uncle Buster used to say it. G-rides on the side of the road. Playing tracks from old school bands like the Isley Brothers and the Temps. There are many memories of this major event. We would visit the cemetery and play Who's Who. In new gear here. We would walk from one end of the street to the other all day in new shoes. We had crews too, but we too fly though. Sometimes family from the Shy would show. Old man Sam directing traffic, and everybody followed his directions. Fellowship in marketplaces like no other. Mom getting a hustle on. We got extra ice cream cones when we got home from the picnic.
So this is a place called Dozier's?
It's Dozier Road. It's like a street.
Dozier Road.
Road. Uh-huh. Like okay. A big old field where we have the picnics at. And people come from all around. It's
okay.
Huge. You believe it? Yeah. Huge, yeah.
All right. And how old were you when you went to this picnic?
8, 9, 10, probably many years.
So you're going back quite a way to a nostalgic time. So... the road home is very quick, but there's a surprise and a treat when you get home.
Yeah, you got all the ice cream you wanted.
Now, tell us about the Who's Who at the cemetery.
What is
that? How did you play that one?
It was, we have a lot of family buried there.
Mm-hmm.
On my mom's side of the family, the Griffins.
Mm-hmm.
So uncles, aunts, friends, family, it's all buried there. So we go to the cemetery to... look at the graves and figure out who's who, you know, and in relationship to us as kids, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Quest to see if you could find the stones or the markers and who's buried in that spot.
Yeah, I still go visit and look at the grave sites.
And what town is it nearby?
It's near Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery. That's a pretty well-known name in American history.
Yes.
Did you live during some of those...
I never saw the latter days
of the hairy times then.
I never saw anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of that sort. Even when I was you know, in my high school years, I didn't really see much of it.
Yeah. Was it taught to you in civics courses there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Very little. You know, very minimal. They only had a few pages on MLK, you know what I mean? But the history is long.
Yeah.
And important, you know what I mean? So, yeah. We didn't get much black history in school.
So when were your high school years?
81 through 85.
Oh, that's, okay, that's coming into contemporary times.
Right.
Yeah, yes, right. Indeed. And so during that time, you'd be looking back to history course, but it might be local history. We used to take American history, and then we also had the local state history.
Right, right.
Did you have that kind of situation in your high school, where you had courses in the American broader sweep?
Yeah,
and then,
we did.
And then Alabama state history?
Not
remember that?
Particularly Alabama state history, but more American history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have an American history class, so yeah. Yep.
So when you went on these picnics, you mentioned foods that sound like they're prepared in a restaurant, but these prepared at the picnic?
Mm-hmm.
So you had barbecue somewhere? The
setup, barbecue. We had hot dogs. We had fish. And
okay.
At the new location on Dozier Road.
And anything special in the way of corn from the fields?
We grew corn. Yeah. Peas, watermelon.
Well, I thought perhaps with your pea hulling poem that you might even have a recipe at the end of that. I was thinking after that when I was reading it, perhaps we're going to get
a recipe
out of this. But
yeah, my mom made them good.
I don't recall anything that you wrote
and
left me in attachment.
My mom, she made them really, really, really good. They were so good. I don't know the recipe, mm-hmm. but my sisters probably do.
But you'd probably have it in combination with what else?
A combination with probably fried chicken, cornbread, okra, something like that. Corn, corn on the cob. So.
And did something like ham hocks get put in?
Ham hocks,
Did that get put in the pan
in the
boiler with
the peas,
black eyed peas? Yeah.
Okay, this one's called Purple Hull Peas. Dusty roads and crooked curves led us to this place, surrounded by many gullies, mountains, and valleys. Crop dusters spray water upon these gems. As we peel them, we blend it, as we mended our kinship. Mother Louise would get a mess or two from our fields of love that's huge, or maybe from L.D. Hughes or Auntie Magnolia. She would require them when we had the desire for them, for black-eyed peas. We would peel until our fingers were purple, signifying the love and affection between us. We would gather pots and pans and spots on couches and floors. I would always sit by the front door. Who could peel the most? Almost like fine competition. And I figure Mother Louise was fishing for unity among brothers and sisters when she'd say we got to peel peas tonight, echoed from her kitchen. I speculate she'd find the time to design a session, to peel, to reveal stories for laughter. She set it up to catch up. She did it for family. I never thought about it much then, her craftiness to capture and catch us, this family of 15 and more between walls of four, for one reason, peeling, feeling that oneness that often escaped us. We would put them all in one big pot, symbolizing the coming together. She would orchestrate it well, like Beethoven. And when she put them on the oven to cook, you don't know what you're missing. Her own special seasoning, her own special reasoning, her own ingredients. She's special to me. I can't wait to peel another mess or two of them purple hull peas.
Now, that did have the ring of the new version.
In the beginning, that first line.
starting out with the road there, the trip there.
Yeah.
Right. That was an addition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Well, I think as you read it, you felt more assured in reading that because you had looked at it and added a few verses.
Yeah.
How often do you rework your poetry?
Not too often.
So something that is like this, that is fixed now.
Yeah.
You're not going to change this one much.
No.
Have you got it in a Word document too? So, and it's on your phone.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't go back and alter a thing now.
Nah, I only did that because I did it for it was like one of my prize ones I'm most proud of. You know what I mean? So I think I was given to my niece or somebody else a copy of it, like framed. I was given to my niece and I wrote it like a little different. Yeah.
In the family get together in doing this, was the preparation for the meal going on about the same time that people were in this activity?
Yep. Yeah.
So there was a good bit of hustle and bustle. And do you remember the styles of the dresses and frocks that the women
wore?
Family, yeah.
I mean, we're from the South, and you know, women wear dresses all the time, like summer dresses and whatever.
Yeah. So does the color come to mind when you think about it? The color of the attire.
I don't recall that too much.
No, you don't recall that.
Yeah. But bright colors.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, in poetry, I'm sure that whoever writes about certain details of, say, dress and looks, some of that is going to be made up in a poem, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not always going to be true, because what do you really remember, you know?
Yeah.
What comes through, once you put it down, it's good that you've got at least the record of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But does that also maybe stir other memories? Do you expect it to stir other memories? I mean, if your family read that, would some of them say, hey, you forgot about this?
They have read it. They have read it. They love it. They love it. They love it. Absolutely love it, man. So, nobody said you left me out or, you know,
didn't leave any of the activities out. So you included everybody in the family practice. That's folklore of the old days. And what era, again, do we go back to for that?
Oh, man, I was young, like 10, 15.
So you was in the 70s?
Yeah, it was in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a reminiscence. That is nostalgia.
Yeah, it's good times, man. Good memories. Good memories.
Are those days still practiced pretty much by families in the same way?
I think it's pretty much gone out. Mm-hmm. You know, shelling peas and stuff like that.
Yeah. So things are more urban, less.
They're just bound from the grocery store.
Less of the. Bringing of the raw vegetables into the house.
Right. Now they just get them from the grocery store, you know.
Yeah, right. So those people passed away, probably, who were the providers in those times.
Yeah. The growers, you know what I mean? So,
when you came to Tacoma, did you find a poetry community to go to? Did you sit in with people?
Not really. I was just writing mostly and keeping it to myself until I got a nice catalog.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are quite a few nowadays, but when I found one or two back in the 90s, I had to go sometimes quite a distance, like Port Townsend or Port Orchard.
Right.
To find a
you
group.
Read yourself, or are you
yes
a writer?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't find it always in town.
Exactly.
Federal Way, Auburn.
Yeah.
Were places. So
wasn't there one that you wrote about Wright's Park itself.
Yeah, I got that one. Uh-huh.
That one, I think, particularly when I read it, was one that I thought, well, this is about establishing landmarks for people who ever come here.
Yeah,
this is one of those places that they certainly might find open space to enjoy an afternoon.
Yeah.
So why don't you do the Wright's Park to fill in yet another landmark of the scene here? Yeah.
Okay.
This one's titled Wright Park. I grab my sneakers and disposable cup filled with coffee. I'm off to see Wright's Park. Oh, the aura, the euphoria I get, walking, running into life experiences. I'm all in. As Nike swoosh through New Balances on this sometimes saturated course of life, I plan, strategize, and maximize my thinking in this village and enjoy the privilege to be here. To come a citizen's pass and greet me with a smile or nod, I often thank God here. The homeless leave blank rental applications here, to say the most, and messages on green tables where they feast and toast. I quote, "The community harasses us, we hassle the community. We all see shadows on the wall, we get so high, we're all bound to fall. Peace and love to all." Unquote. The elderly man whispers wisdom to a young girl while resting on a park bench. The Duck Pond Trilogy represents a community's youth of all color, creed, and credential. I see Tacoma here in all its great potential. Parks and recreation is essential, but homelessness is not, I forgot to mention. It has been strategically designed for youth, newly crafted state-of-the-art investing. I invest in it. And any cause to end a homelessness, hopelessness, and resentment, I rest my case. So,
that is only part of the story that you read before.
No, that's it. That was it.
No, you took us on a tour to Point Defiance.
No, I gave you that was City of Destiny.
It's called the City of Destiny. Galloping Gertie is sturdy now. We link across strong bridges together in the City of Destiny. Waking up wonderfully wired in America's most wired city. Seagulls squawk like an alarm as they swoop down across Commencement Bay. I'm convinced of the way I perceive the 253. Driftwood shaped and designed by time like a master smith. Floating about night and day to destinations unknown. Fishing lines drape over wooden docks and piers, reminiscent to the sprawling beams connected to the 21st century overpass. The 11th Street Bridge Restoration Project, uncovered now, if in great anticipation of an awesome unveiling. The clock tower watches over the city and tells of times of a rich history still revealing itself. A cone-shaped museum houses one-of-a-kind fine glass art. Sons and daughters of loggers, fishermen, and wartime soldiers reside here. I listen intently to the stories told to me by the elderly about TAC. Joggers push infants along paths apart in rolling strollers, where rubber meets the road and where rails meet sails. Are we there yet? Behold the big, beautiful globe that embraces Thea Falls Park, a sign of international trade, Asian partnerships, where I often park. Asian gardens at Point Defiance points to past collaborations. I'm defiant in ensuring her safety, community wellness, and on these terms I elaborate. Go and tell of this beautiful city. Pick up a seashell or a rock or two and toss them as you walk along the shoreline at Owens Beach. The nights are filled with bright amber lights, the perfect postcard to pass on to potential patrons. Pleasure boats and transport vessels slide along rippled waters, unwrestled by nature. Fireman Park allows a view into industry here, overlooking ports, billowing smoke and possibilities. View wildlife at Five Mile Drive as we strive for 5 stars. The Chinese expulsion site induces unity among cultures, inclusion, infusion and forgiveness. An eager, ambitious man with close-cut trousers, suspenders, and satchel in hand awaits effective public transportation as he stands in front of the Washington State Museum. A pioneer. Have you seen him? The theater district, historic to say the least. Fort Nisqually, with tall fortified walls, a place for fur trade between natives and early settlers. Be sporadic, spontaneous, and at the spur of the moment, go visit it and catch a glimpse of this hidden gem. Revels, festivals, fairs provoke tons of attendees, loads of fun, providing proof of our vibrancy and diversity. I'm one of them. The Tacoma Dome blends into the morning sky, where a snow-capped roof meets the clouds. Delicious cuisine, from Shenanigans to the Lobster Shop, I often stop by and cruise the scene on Rushton Way. Ongoing, thrusting growth and development, even though she's the city of destiny, enjoy your journey here.
So you're giving us a tour, a guided tour of Tacoma, more or less, in your poem there.
Something like that, yeah.
You've memorialized the town you lived in and captured what you remembered, yeah. not necessarily in a continuous roadway journey. Sometimes you skip around there.
Yeah.
What made you choose to change the location with some what you might call jump cuts?
You mean the poem itself?
What made me change? In places you're in Point Defiance, and then you're describing somebody with a satchel waiting for transportation.
Right.
At a somewhat distant place.
Yeah, this was written a long time ago, David.
Uh-huh.
This was written years ago.
So this is one of your earlier poems that you've...
Yeah. I lived in Tacoma then, mm-hmm, when I wrote this.
Did you deliver that one at some poetry get-together?
I haven't yet. It's my first time doing it.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the that's then the inauguration of your Tacoma City of Destiny poem.
I hope people
enjoy listening to the names and the descriptions of the sites.
Yeah.
It certainly does ring true for anybody that lives here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you missed anything out?
I don't think so. I mean, I got most of it. I'm sure I missed something, you know, but, you know, I hit on the important points about the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rushton Way has really become a hub of a lot of merchandising and restaurants nowadays.
It has, yeah.
As well as an accumulation of great numbers of condominiums and whatnot.
Really?
It's almost like a mini suburb on its own. Yeah. The population has grown so much, yeah.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
Well, good. You do enjoy, actually, I think, noting places that you spent some time in.
I got one more I want to do, though. Can I do one more?
Please, if you wish. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to read.
It's titled Great Hands. I was on the express bus to Seattle one day, going to work. I worked at the VA up there at that time. So I would catch the express bus each day to work. And I was sitting behind this girl, and she was kind of like talking to another passenger, a friend or whoever it was. And she was like expressing herself, you know how people talk with their hands. And so I looked at her hands. I was like, man, she's got really great hands. And so that's where I get the title from. This one's titled Great Hands. I watch her express herself to another passenger on the express bus to Seattle. They wave, stay, lay flat out until her point is made. She points with them with index extended, with a band of silver accompanying them, her nails real and evenly cut and manicured, not too short or too long, with a small mole just beneath the base of them, an even, smooth skin tone, with a nice bone structure. She twirls her curly hair with them.
So, the gestures of the hands that caught your attention.
Right.
And that's an interesting aspect of a person's personality. Someone who is using hands to gesture. And that's you don't mention very much else about her, but that
right.
is what caught
Color
your attention.
Eye, yeah.
yeah, right. Yeah. And so do you sometimes find that while you're traveling, while you're in transit, that you're able to compose verses because of the...
When I travel?
Well, you're sitting relaxed, let's say. You're sitting in a public conveyance, lots of stuff to see. You're an observer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what you have done is, in some of your other poems, is you've written about observations.
Observations.
These become the important motives for for what you write.
Watching, seeing stuff, you know, third eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, if you were to write more about home life now that you are retired, do you think there's going to be a chance that you'll be more prolific in your poetry? Are you going to become more a practicer?
Yeah.
Practitioner of poetry?
Yeah. I will. I'll always write. It's just in my blood, you know. I love what the outcome is of, I started at this point, come up with this at the end, you know what I mean? So that's what I like about it so much, the final product.
Well, when you return to your computer and you've got some other poems, I'll give you, a sample of some of my poems.
Yeah, I would love to hear some.
And you can send some to us. To me.
Okay.
And maybe there'll be a chance... in the future, when we do an anthology, that we can include some of these other ones.
I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anthology will be online, right? It's like a...
We'd call you up and...
Yeah.
Perhaps even by phone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The recording by phone sometimes has even a better sound than Zoom.
Yeah.
Well, Centel Jackson, enjoyed very much your being here with us to read poems of home life.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Nostalgia and your observations of living in different places, a picnic from the past, and then excursions in Tacoma, where you lived for 30 years. But
yes,
now,
sir. Yes, sir.
Now you're going back to... Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia. Uh-huh.
And you're going to be a Georgian again.
Yes.
So
yes,
are you
yes.
looking forward to life in Georgia?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just got a new house down there a couple of months ago. I'm settled down there.
Is it an active community that you're in there?
Yeah, pretty active. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And do you think you'll find some poetry?
They have them. They have them.
Groups to go to?
Yeah. I have more. They have more in Atlanta. They do have some in Augusta, but Atlanta.
Well, you could be one who maybe gets some of them together since you
start one. Huh?
You sound to me as a poet of the community, or your intentions seem community oriented, right?
Yes, I was supposed to go to one about a month ago in Atlanta, but I never did make it.
And we really enjoyed your appearance. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time
and being here in person.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. This
is
Radio Tacoma, KTAH.
We finally got this done. We finally took a long time.